Well, I want to thank you for joining us for another podcast following our masterclass. I'm privileged today to be joined by Dr. Cheryl Ann Beals, who directs the SOZO Center for the Canadian Baptists of Atlantic Canada, and as well with Dr. Terry Atkinson, who's been a social worker, a pastor, has been our interim executive minister, and now is a coach for both churches and pastors. So Terry and Cheryl Ann, welcome.
Great to be here.
It's good to have you guys here. Just jumping in, Cheryl Ann, you've been with the CBAC for 10 years now, working in the area of pastor wellness, and just kind of, you know, now with the SOZO Center for Soul Care, just kind of wondering if you've seen any changes over the last 10 years in our pastors, whether good or ill, and just what have you observed?
Okay. Let's start with the negative first, I guess. Changes. I think issues of isolation, issues of trauma, issues of identity confusion as a pastor, confusion about the role of being a pastor, what is really the expectation, what's really the role of a pastor. And surprisingly, there's still a sense of pastors going into ministry not being aware of the adversity that comes in the midst of ministry.
Okay.
And potential.
Can I just follow up on some of those? So I'm thinking about, I'm assuming with isolation, it was an issue prior to what we went through with the pandemic in 2020, but I'm assuming that that probably increased it and then even has made it difficult to break through that barrier on the other side. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's very fair. And the isolation is that sense of feeling it, carrying the whole burden yourself, not having a community of colleagues, not having others to be a sounding board or others who pour into you, you know, trying to do the Superman thing.
Right, right. And so when you talk about the identity, I'm assuming that those two, you know, bleed into one another at some level. Help us with the identity piece. Is that a... I'm here now, things have changed, and I don't know where I fit. Is that kind of the struggle to be able to see them in the role that they're carrying out? Has it changed?
I think it's the issue. This is an issue that's been around a long time. Is being a pastor, is that who I am, or is it a role that I fulfill? We still have a lot of confusion around that. And so... For a number of people, they develop identity as pastor, but do not work on their identity as a person.
Okay.
And then don't know the difference between the two. And you really see this when it comes time for pastors to retire and they can't let go because being a pastor is who they are. That's the only identity they have.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is not the way it should be. It should be my identity shapes how I am a pastor.
Terry, did you want to jump in on that? You seem to kind of, you got excited there when Cheryl Ann mentioned that in the retirement piece.
Well, I so appreciate what Cheryl Ann said, because I've noticed that with a lot of even my colleagues who have just retired, like myself, and they don't know what to do with themselves, because as Cheryl Ann said, their whole life was tied up in that role as opposed to who they are as a person. Some people actually asked that question of me when I got closer to retirement, are you dreading this? And I said, absolutely not. I'm excited that, God will still use me somewhere along the way, but I'm excited to be able to do all kinds of other things. And, it's been a real blessing. And so I think Cheryl Ann is right on. I think too many clergy have got their whole identity just not clear, and they've got caught up in that whole role as a pastor, and they don't know how to go to retirement. And it's very, very sad, really.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that. Cheryl Ann, you're going to mention some positives after some of those negative changes that you've seen.
I've noticed with some of the younger, particularly clergy a willingness to be more open and honest about trauma, about struggles, about questions they have. They're more open to help and support in some ways. Some are. So there's more of that there than used to be there. I think there's a growing understanding of struggle. There's still too many leaders who think struggling is a sin. As opposed, struggling is a wilderness you pass through from time to time. And actually, God uses struggle as a part of his development of us. And so a little more willing to accept life isn't always sunny and wonderful. Pain and struggle and suffering are a part of the deal.
It's interesting, and you mentioned that in kind of the younger leaders who we're seeing come through, and there's certainly some things that are marking, the next generations of Z and Alpha, in terms of how they approach life and how they perceive things, and it's interesting that we've seen this rise culturally in anxiety, but what also that has given rise to is an honesty. And, somebody once said, I wonder why the anxiety has risen, and we'll never really know why that in and of itself has become an epidemic within our context. But, so often we've given the message that everything is, the world is in a tough state. And if you watch the news, we see that and we understand that. But that has produced a raw honesty. Is that a fair assessment?
It is. And I think I always say, since Oprah, who really raised our awareness of being human is kind of a mixed bag, right? And so, previous generations didn't have those models, really, of it's okay to talk about our brokenness, that to be human is to be broken and to have challenges and all that. And so I think our culture has been more open to that. But unfortunately, the church culture still hasn't opened up to being more honest and open.
No, thanks for that. Terry, you just chatted with us in your masterclass a little bit about your transition in your season of burnout, and you transitioned from social work into pastoral ministry. And you shared about some of the things that you learned about it and what some of the symptoms were. Were there any symptoms that you look back and kind of say, I missed that? I wish I'd seen that sooner. I wish I'd known a little more about that.
Absolutely, Garth. When I look back, like I say, it really came on me slow, but there was little signs that looking back now, I thought, how in the world did I miss it? Like, I wasn't sleeping at night. I had gained weight. I was not looking after my physical well-being. I was anxious. This whole idea of not even being able to complete a sentence, not be able to carry on a conversation with my wife. Those were signs that I should have seen there's something going on. But in that day and age, I just wasn't aware of that. And so I missed those signs. And so when I actually kind of went back and put all those things together, that's why for me, it was so helpful when I went into pastoral ministry to reread my paper, because I thought, what has this last year in ministry been like? And am I showing some of those same signs? And as Cheryl Ann said, I was fortunate to not only have some key people in my life that I would go to and say, are you noticing anything in me? And, Cheryl Ann was one of them early on that helped me see that I was going down that road again. And so we need to recognize that if we don't have other people speaking into our lives, we're going to miss those signs. And I did in those early days, for sure.
Terry, when you came to that realization and talked with your doctor and you begin to kind of accept that this is where you were, was there a bit of a relief that came with that?
I'm not so sure the first time it was relief. It was more shock and anger. Not anger, I guess, at first. It was just disappointment in myself. What's wrong with me? And how did I get to this point? And will I ever get better? As I said, fear was probably the big one that I wrestled with during those stages. that I went through was the fear of saying, whoa, this is not good. And will I ever get better? And it's interesting now, having gone through my health crisis in February, how some of the same kind of stages that I'm going through are all over again. Like I had that fear even when I come home from the hospital, will I ever recover? Will I ever, you know, because there was some memory loss and that type of thing. And so I went through some of these same stages, and I've talked to a number of people about what I went through in February physically has caused some post-traumatic stress in my life. And so now I'm dealing with that. And so again, it's as Cheryl Ann said, if we would just become more self-aware and then have people speak into our lives on these things that are going on and open ourselves up and be, you know, you two know very well, even in the short term I was there as interim executive minister, if there was one word you all probably got tired of was transparency. I really wanted to focus on transparency. And I think in ministry, if we cannot be transparent, how can we grow? How can we really do what God's called us to do if we can't be open and honest and admit that we are broken vessels? And God can still use us. Just read through the Old New Testament. There's all kinds of examples of broken vessels. God can still use us, but let's not try to play the game that everything's great, because it's not. We're all broken vessels, and that's God's going to use us still.
Yeah, I appreciate you mentioned about, you know, people have in the masterclass, you mentioned about, you know, people wearing masks, pastors feeling like they have to wear masks, you know, really hiding the true self. One book for me that was tremendous, and I don't know how I came across this, and Charlene, I don't know if you had recommended it to me or not, but it was Brennan Manning's book, Ragamuffin Gospel. And I think just early on in my ministry, it just really kind of helped me work through some of those honesty, transparency, this is who I am in Christ issues. And it was very helpful for me on my journey. Cheryl Ann, in your masterclass a month ago, you had a series of pictures of waterfalls. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't able to be on the session. We were traveling. But I had a chance just to quickly go back and get to that point in your lecture, and I stopped and I thought, I don't know where you went with that, but I'll tell you where I went with that. What was fascinating was each of the waterfalls were pouring into something, but that the water had a source.
Amen.
And I was just thinking, man, the number of times that you've referenced the need for us to be plugged into a relationship with Jesus and to be with Jesus, not just to do for Jesus, really for me came out strong in the imagery of the waterfall, you know, pouring into something, but it itself had this source for the water to come from. And I just thought, you know, part of the call for us into pastoral ministry is to pour into the lives of the people around us. And yet, if we're not able to tap into the source and to be replenished, it makes it very hard to accomplish the task. Can you talk to that just a little
Amen.
Bit?
Amen. Amen. Visual, because we need a new image of ministry, of pastoring, of leading. And our understanding needs to be more of what God pours in, and then it overflows. And if God hasn't poured it in, we don't want it overflowing. And we've been trying to create the flow ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what burns us out. We're trying to create the momentum. We're trying to create everything, as opposed to letting God pour in, create in us, and let it overflow and flow to others. And so that's exactly why I chose that image. We need to be fountains who have a source in God. And that's true for our resilience. Our resilience needs to flow from God and Him providing the inner resources we need so that we can withstand the adversities of ministry and life. Because that's just reality.
Yeah.
And Garth, if I can just add to that, what Cheryl Ann just said is that, just this past Sunday, I preached at Sunny Bray, And our focus was on the image of the church, and the image that Colin wanted me to focus on was the church is like a flock of sheep. And so I, you know, we walked through the sheep and the characteristics of a sheep, but then I finished my message by going to 1 Peter chapter 5, where Peter talks about having the chief shepherd and then speaking to the elders about how we need to be good shepherds of the flock that God has put under us. And so I focused on, you know, the shepherds that we have at Sunny Bray and how blessed we are. But if they're not plugged into the chief shepherd, and that's why I think Peter has done a super job of in that passage talking about the chief shepherd, but Jesus, if we don't have that plugged in, how can we shepherd our flock? And those two things go together. So it's exactly what Cheryl Ann was saying, but from a little different perspective than First Peter.
And to come out at it from another direction would be that image in Jeremiah 17, which Lead Fresh was based on, was that if we are not rooted in the water of God's presence, right? The tree rooted by the water, right? Is able to bear fruit even in drought times, even in challenging times. Right. And so that needs to be our image. Other than that, we are a tumbleweed, right? And then it talks about when we try to depend on people and on ourselves, we become tumbleweeds, basically. Shrubs in the desert.
I'm often reminded by, you know, when you fly and they tell you that when the oxygen masks drop, to put your oxygen mask on first, because you're no good to be able to help it. I mean, that's really what we're talking about. And at least when we're trying to manufacture that on our own, that's when we, you know, really get into those areas of burnout. And, you know, we all see what happens when that goes really off track for people. And and so certainly we want to be a people who are about encouraging our clergy to live well. In all things. Well, listen, I want to thank you, both of you, so much for this conversation. It feels like we've just kind of even scratched the surface even a little more. And maybe another time we can come back and have a further conversation around this. But Terry, thank you so much for today. I know that if people want to utilize some of your experience, that they can reach out to you for coaching or for some consulting. And Cheryl Ann, just grateful for the work that you do with the SOZO Center, and that people can reach out to you through our webpage for the CBAC, Canadian Baptist of Atlantic Canada, so that they could be in touch with you and maybe benefit greatly from the work that you and your department does. So thank you both. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Garth.
Okay. And for those of you who are listening, thank you so much for taking time to do that. And we trust that God will bless you and that he will give you opportunity to be a calm presence in the midst of the world that we live in. Okay. Thanks for listening. Bye now.